Welcome. This is the weekly wrap edition of Winning at Life. Very busy week, a lot to talk about. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, and you're listening to live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, there was actually quite a few things that happened in D.C. that could affect your pocketbook. People are talking about kneeling or groping. All that, I'm not saying it's not important, but it's not going to affect what's in your wallet. This show will, so we'll break down what's creeping through D.C. just about as it's happening. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via the app, the Winning at Life app, or the Gregory Ricks app. We've had some issues with searching, so if one doesn't get you there, try the other one, either Winning at Life or Gregory Ricks. We're going to talk about some more mistakes of famous billionaires, because it makes me feel better. Haven't we all done something stupid with our money before? Or maybe if it's not stupid, you made an educated guess and it went south. You've had some things that didn't work out. Well, it'll make you feel a little better knowing that these geniuses out there have some mistakes that are probably bigger than anything I've ever made. This was stemming from a conversation we had earlier on the weekly wrap. And Gregory, I did a follow-up. Richard Branson's, one of his bigger financial mistakes was launching Virgin Cola. Cost him hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, in the marketing, a startup, and, cans are pretty cheap. So I was trying to see if any of them still existed. Virgin Cola, Richard Branson was trying to jump into the soda markets because the margins are incredible. Can't blame him. And he says, you know, if I only get a tiny little market share here, this will be wildly profitable. Went from 94 until the last can was sold in 2002. I was going to see, Gregory, if someone saved them and was selling them now on eBay as some sort of artifact.
But you never actually saw one.
I never saw it with my own eyes, no.
I never did either.
Never saw it in a store, never saw someone drinking it casually, you know, when I'm at a stoplight and you see people drinking in the car. But I did find an empty can from France that it says it comes from 2003, which is suspicious because I was under the impression Virgin Cola went away in 2002. But maybe they just stopped producing it, and by the time it got across the ocean and someone bought it, it was 2003. It's an empty can of Virgin Cola. $4.95 for an empty used Virgin Cola can. That's the nearest thing I found. I didn't put on my full Sherlock Holmes sleuthing hat, though. I just did a quick Google search, and that was all that popped up. But, you know, there's a market for things like that, the nostalgic things that go away. How much do you think you'd get for a Schwegman's bag these days, Gregory? You think anybody would pay a couple extra bucks to have that?
Nope.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I just went on eBay, Virgin Cola, vintage empty can, $5.
An empty can.
Yeah, not interested.
But, you know, that would be kind of cool if you had a restaurant like Applebee's where they just throw random sort of neo artifacts on the wall. We've got a Phillips 66 sign, things like that. Virgin Cola can would fit in that decor, that style of decor, pretty easily. Anyway, we'll run some more of these big old mistakes, and like I said, I like it just because it makes me feel better about the dumb stuff that I've done with my money before. But can I?
So something like that, would you imagine that would be a collectible? Virgin Cola, the Pammy, sealed. It's a glass bottle, and that's for sale for $53.49.
Wow. What is that? It's in a bottle?
Yeah, it kind of looks weird.
Oh, it does. Kind of looks like a woman. They do that on purpose because that triggers our instincts.
Remember Ford Edsel back in the day didn't do well?
No, yeah. And
is it really a collectible?
Not really. Yeah. No, I don't. I know car guys. You're a car guy. But you're not the first one I met. None of them are pining over an Edsel. They're not trying to get a hold of that. They may be trying to get a hold of, you know, a 57 Chevy, but not an Edsel so much. But if I would have thought about it, this kind of makes sense now, and I kind of want to look around and see, okay, what do we have now that's going out of style or that's going out of business, never to be seen again, that I can flip in 20, 30 years and make some money? Because, you know, if I could go back and do it again, I would have grabbed a six-pack of Crystal Pepsi. I would have grabbed some Virgin Cola. I would have grabbed anything like you know is going to go out of style. That kind of makes sense. What's going out of style now? What's going out of business? Is it too late to get a Radio Shack sign?
Probably Probably not. Some Sears memorabilia.
Oh, now you're talking. Yeah.
You know, see, that stuff is still around. But what you'd like is some of the vintage stuff of that actually becomes more valuable, that you may pay for something to get that now, but just think 20, 30 years out when there's, and what was Sears?
Yeah, it was like Woolworths. It used to be everywhere. Now it's nowhere.
Yeah.
All right. Hey,
might be like Bitcoin one day.
You want to talk about this Jim Rickards audio again?
Yeah.
I see you walking right into the Bitcoin. I like where you're going with that. Jim Rickards. What exactly was his title again? Don't make me. I can make Marita Bartiromo say it again, but off the top of your head.
Joining us now is Jim Rickards.
I'm sorry, Varney.
New York Times best-selling author and chief global strategist for Meraglim. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, okay. So he was talking about Bitcoin with Varney and tax reform and North Korea. And he started off with, is the economy slowing down? So this is going to cover a lot, but this guy just drops hot sports opinions every 30 seconds. So let's walk through some of this here.
The good times are over, you think?
We're getting close to that. Look, the economy's probably slowing in the fourth quarter anyway. A lot of demand was brought forward into the third quarter because of the hurricanes. That's over. The biggest blunder right now is the Fed is tightening in two ways. They're normalizing interest rates, raising them. And they're also normalizing the balance sheet by reducing the money supply. This has never been done before. We're all guinea pigs in an experiment. Okay. They're probably underestimating the impact of the reduction of the balance sheet. Ben Steele, Council on Foreign Relations, had a great article on this. They're over-tightening.
All right, so are they over-tightening? They're raising rates and they're unloading their balance sheet, so they're sucking up money at a rate that concerns Jim Rickards here, and he thinks that's going to put pressure on a economic slowdown.
Well, it's not showing up yet, is it?
No,
that's got to be, is he looking into next year or 2019? That's almost like Fed speak, that where they were expecting it to slow down. And once again, you're taking this normalization of rates, which is at a snail's pace, and then the unwinding of the balance sheet. And once again, he said we're part of an experiment, but then you're making a guess at how this experiment's going to go. Is it going to go good or is it going to go bad? It probably is going to have some effect because of interest rates rising will stop some borrowing, which would mean stop some spending. But on the other side, could this economy grow faster than we've been thinking? Because we've thought that 3% is a bit of a reach. And now we're darn near going to hit it in his first year as president. Speaking of Trump, yep, being the leader of the country, setting the example, setting the enthusiasm, creating the positive mindset. Have we had time for all of his changes, deregulation and such get into place? I just think that's starting to start, but it's not like all of a sudden you deregulate something and then they throw up a building. It doesn't happen that fast. But imagine if we're getting here, can we get more? And still, can we stay at having a reasonable GDP despite maybe what the Fed is having to do because of past Fed action?
Yeah, and the one pushback I would have if Jim Rickards was in the room is I really don't consider, you know, raising the rates to be necessarily, you know, constricting the money supply, considering the rates at what, 1.25%, and you're moving it up to 1.5.
So the offset is, okay, it reduces some borrowing, and there's people that shouldn't be borrowing in the corporate market as well on these cheap rates. But on the other hand, we have a lot of money sitting in cash, not earning. That conservative people are going to stay conservative people, and they're waiting for rates to go up. So that could be offset some by more spending on that side because they're getting more yield.
All right. So Jim Rickards, if you do believe we're over tightening, what do you recommend? Do you just sell everything now?
Okay. Real fast. Would you sell it all? I mean, look, Some of us are sitting on some nice profits in the stock market. A lot of people are.
Yep.
Sell it. Sell half of it. What would you do?
Oh, I recommend 10% gold and 30% cash. So if you don't have that allocation, I would sell that amount of stocks and reallocate.
So he thinks Armageddon's coming, but he's still 60% in the market.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like he doesn't believe what he's saying. 10% gold, 30% cash. That's still a pretty aggressive stance.
Well, that's where you're not wanting to sell everything, kind of going almost to my 50-50 rule. If you're worried, unsure, you want to be cautious. He's doing it in a different way, and I wanted to pull up a number here while we're talking about that. But, yeah, it's holding equities in case he's wrong, but also ready to buy on the dip, and doesn't necessarily mean that he's ready to sell the rest in that case.
Well, whenever we repeatedly hit records like this in the stock market, we've been doing this long enough. We know what calls are coming in. Hey, are we at a top? You know, I made a lot of money. I want to get out. How do I get out? How do you get out? How do you, quote unquote, go to cash, or should you go to cash? Or I like the 50-50 rule, but explain that process.
Well, if you're holding something, just say an individual security, go back to GE's performance the past few months. Horrible. And then they cut that dividend in half, and it goes back to where people will talk about, oh, I would never sell a dividend-paying stock. Well, if it's going down, then you have to ask, why is it going down? Is it a market anomaly, or is there something fundamentally wrong with the company? Well, we know for GE is fundamentally wrong with the company. The leadership and all has just drove that company into the ground. So when you're kind of thinking of selling it, well, what if I'm wrong? What if they're going to turn around? A reason to sell half is, yeah, I think this thing's going in the toilet, but I'm just not ready to sell all of it. So it could be, you know, you're either 50% wrong or 50% right. So in a way, you're hedging so you can get back in. And that's kind of, you make that decision, sell that stock. Now, you might want to watch how the market is handling it the next few days, but you're in a position to sell that. And let's talk about that more when we come back from the break.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials. Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Care's Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Single couple, there's no marriage penalty. A benefit to filing two single tax returns when both spouses or partners have a high income. Use of the single threshold amounts for each spouse or partner. The top tax rates, income and long-term capital gain and dividend rates, $800,000. That's $400,000 for each single taxpayer versus $450,000 for a married couple. Okay, you've got old Joe making $800,000. Bring her into the business and split the income. Now you've beat the system.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Double up in this bag and give 'em a wild.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. You know, it's where you can always get some financial information, financial talk, have a little fun. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, and James Parker, live financial talk radio. It means you can participate in the show. You can also pick us up on Facebook Live and Periscope. Well, you know, everybody knows what Facebook Live is. That's just like, you know, what Coca-Cola is, right?
I sure do. Yeah,
have you ever seen anybody not know what Coca-Cola is?
Never in my life. No, yeah, not okay. Once. Okay.
Well, Facebook, I think, is basically the same thing. Now, everybody may not drink Coca-Cola or use Facebook, but they know what it is. Now, Periscope is another streaming service. So I get this all that. Oh, we're on Periscope as well. Well, what's that? Go to periscope.com and
or go to your app store and download it.
And it's connected to Twitter as far as the log on, but you don't have to be a part of Twitter. You don't have to tweet to use Periscope as well. So you can catch us on live streaming. So it's kind of like the modern version of TV without having to go through the cable service. It's streaming over the web.
Well, you know, what we hear a lot is people are like, oh, you know, just stick with Facebook Live. There's a lot more eyeballs and a lot more people on Facebook Live. And I wouldn't mess with Periscope. There's just not a lot going on there. And look, I agree. There's probably a million times more people that use Facebook versus Periscope. But for some reason, our numbers are larger. We have more viewers through that app than we do big, bad behemoth of Facebook. So
yeah, really do. That was really surprising on last Saturday's show, the count was really huge. But if you'd like to participate in the show, you have a financial situation, unsure what to do, like your question answered, a little bit of guidance, or what's that next step, or what should I look out for? And that could be regarding annuities, mutual funds, stocks, mortgages, yeah, a lot of things. IRA rules, required minimum distributions. The phone number is 504-260-0995. You can also download the Winning at Life app. Two ways to search: Winning at Life, which we've gone through some changes with Apple and close to having everything complete, so you may have to do a search for Gregory Ricks also on that.
Yeah, and we're learning a lot about this app process on
yeah,
the way.
Well, everything kind of has a learning curve. So when we're making changes, I guess it has become more complicated now in the changes. And for you to download and keep it, we're doing some things to make it simpler for you as well to utilize that app that, you know, gives you a lot of options. But it allows you to text the show, email the show, call the show through the app. Also, pretty cool thing.
All right. Did you have something to continue on Jim Rickards? Do you sell everything now? His response, and I asked you how to get the cash. And
yeah, so we talked about the 50-50 rule, and one of the things I wanted to mention, now he's saying gold, and I'm working on a discussion here of gold and Bitcoin, but we're not to Bitcoin yet. But gold, when you kind of look at what's going on with that and maybe why, I'm looking at December 4th, gold was at $1,276.20. Let's see, were we higher? Yeah, we're at $1,278 on the 3rd. Yesterday, it closed at $1,250.50. So gold is moving down. Does that mean, hey, for Rickers, oh, I can get it at a pretty good value? I just don't know how it's going to perform, because sometimes it just performs like the market. You can have a down day on the market and then gold is down too. And then you can have an up day in the market and gold is up. So is it moving in a different direction? I'm not sure about that, but silver has now dropped below $16. Hmm. It closed at $15.87. So are people needing a hedge? Are they not interested in it? Or are they putting that money somewhere else that can move by thousands of dollars in a day. Just a thought, and we'll get more to that. But I don't know about this 10% in gold as that hedge, that if what he's saying is everything just going to move off the rails and continue downward for a few years? I don't see that happening. Could we have a interim or short-term correction? Yeah, we do. At some point, something causes it, or maybe not. You have to think about it. Are the central banks going to keep buying U.S. securities? There's a lot of things that we're talking about, this whole world of unwinding. And then could, because central banks have been putting the cash they've printed into U.S. securities, are they going to unwind that? You know, that's another part of the experiment. And that's kind of a scary thing, too.
Well, it also, if that's the reason the market goes down, that sort of divorces it from the technicals we've had in the past, where the market was a sign of a declining economy because it's all based on earnings and whatnot. If the Swiss and the Japanese and all these other central banks stop buying stocks and the prices start to go down, though, that doesn't, for me, that may not signal a recession or even an economic slowdown, because we're still out there being productive. We're still out there making profits. Everyone else is behaving the same. The stocks aren't going down because we're not producing or selling as much. It's just because Draghi's staying on the sidelines a little longer.
Okay, well, go back and look at this. So we've had a market growing for a number of years, and was it because the economy was improving?
Not really.
And that was not really. Even prior to this year, for the most part, we had a sideways market for 2 years with two corrections in that two-year period. So why was the market increasing then over the past, ever since the Great Recession? Well, easy money. All this money was pumped in to the economies globally.
It starts in Wall Street too.
Yeah. And the money has to go somewhere. And if you've got a 0% interest rate world, no yield, where else? You're going someplace else to put that money and get yield. And the other thing that has happened, in coincidence with the change of administrations here in the U.S., is you've had earnings increase. So you could have some things go negative, but you know what ultimately drives it is earnings. Are companies doing better there? So
all right,
we'll take his thoughts and continue on.
Jim Rickards next. I got to turn back up.
Is Jim Rickards an investor in Bitcoin? Because it hit 12,000 bucks a coin today.
Bitcoin's fascinating because it's a fraud.
Well, I asked, are you an investor in it?
I am not.
You're not.
And I don't recommend it for clients.
Speculative bubble.
A bubble, a fraud, and a Ponzi at the same time. Like Madoff was 2 out of 3. He was a fraud and a Ponzi. Tulip Mania was a bubble, but you got to keep the tulip, so it wasn't a fraud. Bitcoin's all three.
Boom.
Can you go back and show that comparison again?
You mean play it again?
Yeah.
Is Jim Rickards an investor in Bitcoin? Because it hit 12,000 bucks a coin today.
Bitcoin's fascinating because it's a fraud.
Well, I asked, are you an investor in it?
I am not.
You're not.
And I don't recommend it for clients.
Speculative bubble.
A bubble, a fraud, and a Ponzi at the same time. Like Madoff was 2 out of 3. He was a fraud and a Ponzi. Tulip Mania was a bubble, but you got to keep the tulip, so it wasn't a fraud. Bitcoin's all three.
Boom.
It has all those problems.
It does.
But it is being used and sought after. And I think you saw where I was going with this regarding gold and silver. Is Bitcoin replacing gold and silver or cryptocurrency? Think about that. Could that be where the money's going? Because when you, as we've talked about often, where has gold been past few years? Nowhere. It's just sideways. Let me go back to a gold chart here and talk about that in that comparison. There we go back. Let's just look at the past 3 years. It didn't quite give me, why aren't you giving me 3 years? Well, we're looking at, well, I'll go back to just say March of 2016.
Okay.
You're at 1,000, $237. High point in 2016 was $1,391. High point in 2017 was $1,355, and we know it's at $1,250 today. So over 2 years, not much change in it. And I have a table around here of Bitcoin, but we know it's dramatically changed. And I'm not saying I'm a fan of Bitcoin instead of gold, but I'm just, where is money flowing and where's the demand? Is there a shortage of gold? Can you go find, if you need to get some gold today, could you get some gold?
Oh, I can go get it, right.
Yeah.
It's scarce, but it's not hard to acquire if you got the money.
There's trillions of dollars worth of gold above the ground.
Right.
Bitcoin, we know, has limitations. It has to be mined. It's not readily available for everybody, and demand is pushing it up because of short supply. And we know it's capped at some point, but... you know, it still has that fraud and other things. But here's another dangerous twist, I think, on Bitcoin, since I'm mentioning it at this point, is if Bitcoin does eventually collapse, how is it going to affect the banking system and the economy? I think there might be an impact.
Absolutely. 504-260-0995. You have any comments on Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, your own investments, or a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein.
Hi, Dwayne, I want to thank you very much. I listened to your program a couple of months ago. I was having to take a call in because I said, it's not going to help me. They can't do nothing for me, but I'd be damned if you didn't.
Hey, we made it happen, right, Ken?
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
You know, we obviously do the show because of a passion that I have and you have, Angie, helping people out, but that's what it's all about.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
30-year conventional by far is the most popular. I am always looking at the 10-year treasury. If you add 1.75, that's how you're going to come up with your interest rate.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at WeAreStrongerThanMS.org.
Thanks for listening to Winning It Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email James@GregoryRicks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I want bourbon, I want scotch, I want beer. I'm having a record year. Quarter notes and Hank's halftime. I'm pounding on this heart of mine. Song to song, I pass my time.
Welcome back. Happy Saturday. And most everybody's having a chilly weekend. That's, unless you're listening to us, and we have listeners out on the West Coast, and we feel your pain out there with fires and stuff. It seems like Northern California was a few weeks back, and Southern California now. I'm enjoying the cold weather here in the deep South. Instead of having to worry about that, I kind of prefer the hurricanes over fires and earthquakes.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a chilly weekend, but a beautiful weekend. And, you know, we're broadcasting today from the New Orleans area, but, you know, we had our snow and sleet yesterday, but nothing really stuck much more than an hour. But I was sent a picture of my sister's lake house in Big Bay Lake, which is above Hattiesburg. You saw the picture.
It looked like the North Pole. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Beautiful picture of a place that a few months ago I was on a jet ski in that lake, having a good time. So once again, Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We'll do our best to help you and guide you here. That phone number is 504-260-0995. You can email Gregory at Gregory Ricks. The website, gregoryricks.com, has a site chat. You can email us as well. And download the app and utilize it to connect with the show. Winning at Life, do that search. If you're on Apple App Store, you may have to type in Gregory Ricks because we're making some changes to the app and everything's not updated. So search it both ways.
To the phones. Tony. Tony, you're going to be first up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
I've got kind of like two questions on Bitcoin. All right, one, since Congress gave the Federal Reserve the power to regulate the money and print money, how is it that Bitcoin can even be legal? And then two, I heard about I think the CMA or something like that is going to pair Bitcoin up with oil so you can trade it, kind of like Forex.
Well, Bitcoin has some changes happening this weekend. It's going to be on the options market. So you're actually and Bitcoin is not a currency, has never acted like a currency. So it's an investment. And you've had novices dealing with Bitcoin for years now. But guess what? The pros are getting involved with it next few days or tomorrow. It's available on those exchanges so you can short it. And so forth. So you can kind of say it's moving into the mainstream. And oh, by the way, since it's in the mainstream, the IRS is involved as well on getting after you for your gains. And that's where we talked about a week and a half ago. Court ruling is, yeah, CoinDesk has to turn over all their information for a certain period, but they're going to end up back in court again because the IRS is going to go after, we need all the information on everybody. They're talking about when IRS was concerned about missing out on profit, taxes on profits, when Bitcoin went from $600 a coin to $1,100. And recently we saw it go very quickly from 11,000 to 20,000. So you think the IRS is interested? So yeah.
Yeah. And I don't understand why would you think it would be illegal?
Because you're buying and selling, you know, it's from the standpoint, it's not an actual country's currency. So
well, it's not a currency at all. It's not a currency. It's nobody's currency.
They call it cryptocurrency. So yeah. From that standpoint, I mean, I'd take it from face value.
It's kind of a new thing, though. The fact that you put crypto in front of it, it does make it an entirely new thing. No one's trying to come up with a parallel system of legal tender in the United States. They're not claiming it's from the United States government. Everyone knows they're just buying air, so there's no fraudulent intent or counterfeiting there. But it's weird. I see where you're coming from, though, because
Government's been real wary about any form of parallel currency. That's why they stopped allowing us to use in silver and gold coins, you know, FDR, and then through the Bretton Woods Agreement. That's why they're all
so
rare now.
Its price is not changing based on movement of the dollar or any basket of currencies or anything. It is its own wild price variations throughout the day, days, weeks, months, or years. So there is no correlation to a currency of any country. Now, you can exchange it for dollars. I've got dollars in a sports car that's for sale. So the value of the sports car is whatever somebody's wanting to pay for it. I would like more, and somebody's going to want to pay me less, but I want to change that back into dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, that car's not valued based upon what the U.S. dollar is doing or any basket of currencies. It's based on what somebody's willing to pay for it. And I'm looking for a buyer on the other side. I hold it. I'm looking for a buyer on the other side. So what's different about Bitcoin than that?
Yeah. And Tony, I share your skepticism, though. And I feel like the government could change its mind at any time and say, wait a second, this is a currency and it's illegal. But they won't do that until it starts acting like a currency and actually competing with and beating the goofy fiat system we have going on now. So your skepticism is not totally unfounded,
well,
Tony.
It's a fiat as well.
It is.
What does it have a dividend? Any intrinsic value? Is there gold backing it or something, or a country's currency? No. Bitcoin's a fiat also.
Elliot Lockport, you're going to be thank you for your call, Tony. Elliot Lockport, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Good morning.
Morning.
Love the show.
Love you.
Thank you for listening.
So the talking about Bitcoin this morning, I've kind of watched Bitcoin grow up from being $10 per coin all the way up. You know, this talking about investing in Bitcoin, if you were to buy 2 Bitcoin, you're going to spend about $30,000. The smarter people would take their money and invest in something that could actually mine the Bitcoin and make the Bitcoin. Your payoff would be about in 4 months, going on the current hash rate / complexity rate. You'd pay off the equipment that you would purchase, and then you would make about $6,000, $6,500 per month of USD based upon what the current value of Bitcoin is. You'd be adding into what's called the blockchain and making your own currency. Your equipment would be paid off, and you would continue to make money with it. It would
go do it, Elliot.
To dwindle down.
Elliot, go do it. Call us back. Call us back when you make tons of money.
So have you figured out what it would cost you for the computer equipment?
So there's that's the thing that's changed in the complexity of Bitcoin. And you need to remember that there was a huge market called Mt. Gox that crashed a couple of years ago
because
it got hacked. So everyone's wallets got hacked. Bitcoin went from something like $1,300 per coin to $400 overnight. And millions of Bitcoins got stolen as a result of this hack. So anything that you worry about, you have to make sure that you're doing something with a reputable person.
Well, that's what blockchain is supposed to have fixed. But there's some bigger problems, that like $70 million disappearing of Bitcoin the other day. You know, and then we're talking about that equipment. I don't know. It probably costs you at least $50,000 to get the computers with the capability. You want to match up with somebody that's stock is really moving because of the popularity of Bitcoin. And yeah, obviously people are getting into the mining part of that. And I don't completely understand that over my head. And I'm actually fine with that. NVIDIA is something that has really taken off along with the price of Bitcoin, where you had on January 15th of 2016, NVIDIA was $27.11. January of this year, it was, say, January 20th of this year, it was at $104.01. NVIDIA closed yesterday down a quarter point at $191.49.
Oh, yeah. So you don't want to be the guy on the gold rush that's digging for gold. You want to be selling all the miners' blue jeans, right?
Yeah, that's a story that my brother-in-law told me. Remember this land they had up in North Mississippi that they sold for a lot of underlying value? They inherited it from a great-grandfather that went to the gold rush and figured out that wasn't where to make money, and he opened a general store and got rich and put it in the land.
Cool.
And later, it became very valuable because of gravel.
Now I'm interested in NVIDIA. They make the chips that do some of the mining and allow cryptocurrency exchanges to work as well. There you go.
I want to sell those computers.
504-260-0995 if you want to be next. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Let me introduce to you Butch Care, the creator of the amazingly true story of Santa Claus.
Go out and see a real Santa Claus. Not the kind of Santa Claus who you sit on his lap and he goes ho, 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 but a warm, gentle guy, a guy who started out life as a bishop and then eventually became the man we know who brings gifts to everyone on Christmas.
One performance only, Saturday, December 9th at 11 a.m. at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Get a second opinion on how any of these worlds work regarding your fees, regarding the stress on the portfolio, or how much should be in fixed, and then are you getting the best deal out there?
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Couples can boost their Social Security checks with planning. Each day you delay claiming your benefits past your normal retirement age, your benefit ticks up another 8%. And in the event of a spouse's death, the surviving spouse can take the higher of her own benefit or that of the deceased spouse's benefit. See, if the husband claims early, then dies first, effectively, he shortchanged his wife's survival benefit. Instead, the husband should delay his claim, so if the wife can claim the highest possible benefit for the rest of her life, if the wife dies first, the husband simply keeps his own benefit.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. I know it's hard. Hands in my pockets, kicking these rocks. It's kind of hard to watch this life go by.
Happy cold Saturday. Been enjoying this weather. I don't know. It's a little rough. Previous couple of days, cold, rain. But a lot of you are experiencing snow on the ground. Hopefully that's a positive experience. Kind of, did it make it feel like Christmas is coming?
No, because Christmas is supposed to be about 70, 72 degrees. And there was... Gregory, I don't know what this was, but there was
not how we grew up seeing it. Now, I know you didn't have cold Christmas in Tyler growing up,
no,
did you?
No. We never. Really I've never either. Had a white Christmas in my life.
we could have it snowing and then we could be wearing shorts and flip-flops on Christmas Day too.
That I prefer that. I like having the AC on at Christmas.
Hey, we had some great calls. We do this every Saturday from 10 to 1 o'clock, live Financial Talk Radio. So get ready to take down the number. It's 504. Are you ready? You can download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Call us through the app. Well, I'm sorry, it's the Winning at Life app, which we change to connect more with the show because that's what you're here for. And you know how to reach me at the firm on a business hours basis during the daytime if you're needing some help. And the website's gregoryricks.com. But as far as downloading the app, go to your app store, do a search for Winning at Life or Gregory Ricks, and that should take you to the app, which you could call the show, text the show. What else?
Look at the numbers page.
Look at the numbers. There's a tab on there about the firm and myself as well. But the phone number, if you'd like to dial that way to check us out, 504-260-0995. Angie, you had mentioned you overheard a little bit of conversation from one of our other callers, or they
yes.
were talking to you when we had to move on.
Right. Yeah. Before they hung up, they had one last question about Bitcoin. They wanted to know if it was similar to bartering.
Well, bartering is trading an item.
For an item.
Yeah. So I guess, depending on you're trading an item for Bitcoin. It could be dollars for a Bitcoin.
Well, bartering is a trade system without currency. And the answer to that depends on whether or not you think Bitcoin is a currency.
But really, isn't bartering with currency, like dollars, pesos, whatever your currency is, isn't that
that's trading.
That's enabling the barter. Because that's what you...
Right. That's when it ceases to become barter when you put the monetary aspect in it. Barter means it's trading that's specifically no currencies involved. It is item for item. So if you consider Bitcoin a currency, then no, it's not bartering. Now you're doing a currency exchange. If you don't think Bitcoin's a currency, and there's a great argument to make there, then yeah, it's bartering.
I think it's more so on bartering than it would be on the other side because of its price movement, and you're exchanging it, you're buying it for it to go up in value. On bartering, ultimately, even on bartering, I would think you're either wanting to swap for that other item or you're swapping for that other item because you think it has more value than what you're trading it for. In most cases where people are actively bartering, and I've seen some shows in the past about that. Was kind of interesting.
Well, and it becomes weird. What starts out bartering can suddenly become not bartering if enough people do it. They used whiskey as a form of currency in colonial and then early America because the actual currency was so unreliable and it changed, and you couldn't be guaranteed that when you got where you were going that they were going to take Pennsylvania dollars and you only had Maryland dollars or Delaware dollars or whatever the case is. So a lot of people used whiskey. And so you have some weird stories where you find out Abraham Lincoln's dad sold his farm in Kentucky or in Indiana and moved to Illinois, and he sold it for like 50 barrels of whiskey. And you're thinking, what a lush. Well, no, that's so when he gets to Illinois, he doesn't have to worry about what money they're taking. People will always be willing to trade for whiskey. So at some point, whiskey was more of a currency because you're not buying it to drink it. You're just going to store the value of goods so you can go trade it for something else later. But these are all the fun discussions that the new cryptocurrency technology brings up. The phones are lighting up. Let's do a real quick rundown on this commercial for a Sector Spider ETF. You think you can squeeze that into a minute?
If we're taking calls, I don't think we can do that for a minute. Let's do that first, top of the hour.
You just like Lance, don't you? Lance from LaRanja, you're lucky Gregory chose you first. I was going to go with the commercial analysis, but it looks like you're going to be up. How can we help you, Lance?
Well, thank you very much, because my battery is getting ready to drop.
Perfect.
My mom and dad passed away, left a decent house in Metairie. We finally got a closing on it. We have four siblings left that each will receive approximately $70,000. I'm wondering what of that capital gain that has gone to the house is going to be taxable for us, for the kids.
When did she pass?
She passed probably about 6 months ago, and it's taken that long to get the house sold.
Okay. Did you get an appraisal on the house when she died?
No, we demolished the house because it was so old. We thought it would be a better bet due to the fact it was in a River Ridge up there on the Metairie Ridge on Celeste Avenue, that it would be better with the whole deal to go ahead and give them a slab with a historical oak tree on it.
Okay. Here's what I've done in the past, and this is how I relate it to you, is in that situation, I'm getting when death occurs, I'm getting an appraisal for that property because I'm later selling it. Why do I want the appraisal? Because I get a step up basis when I inherit it, meaning I don't have a taxable amount. If let's say she passed and the property is worth $200,000. You're not going to get taxed on that $200,000. What you're going to get taxed on is if you sell it for $220,000. So the IRS is going to want to know, well, how did you come up with that basis? So what you have to go back to is talk to some realtors or somebody give you an appraisal on what that was worth 6 months ago. And then if you did make some gains on it, that's what's going to be taxed.
Questions, Lance?
Does that help you out, Lance?
Bringing it down. And I can remember at the closing that they were stating that no appraisal was made or a survey was made due to the fact that we're simply selling the lot itself.
Yeah, well, that's what you got to figure out, the value at death and the value, and you sold it for something, so there's a value placed on it right there. The buyer placed a value on it. You've got to get a value on that. Otherwise, you might be exposed to 100% taxable inheritance there without a basis. I would rather figure out what the basis is, and there is a basis.
Should we ask Wes?
Well, yeah, we'll ask Wes on the rules of that, but it's a step-up basis. This is more asking Jude, the CPA, because this is a tax bill.
Okay.
A step-up basis. He's needing an appraisal.
This is all three, yeah.
And this is one that I tell everybody, look, when real estate's changing hands like this through the estate or succession process, death of the owner, you need to get an appraisal, whether it's mom, dad, sister, brother, whatever the case, get an appraisal. So, because the IRS is part of who you got to deal with on this. I'd rather pay tax on a portion than tax on all of it.
And Lance, keep listening. We'll ask Wes Blanchard in the next segment. He's our estate planning attorney. Marie Metairie, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. My husband died 3 years ago. I am going to be 61 in 4 months. I felt like when I, waited till I was 62 and 6 months or whatever it is, that I was thinking about taking my Social Security first. And then trying to wait until I became 70 and then switch over to his, which is higher than mine. His will be the maximum. Mine is only like $1,000 a month. What do you think about that strategy?
I think that is a good strategy. You need to talk to Social Security about that. You do need to go and talk to Social Security about that to know ultimately what the options are and the rules. When we go on to break here, you're going to be listening to the show for a few minutes, I assume.
One second.
Yeah, good. Because when we go to break, I'm going to double check on the rules and make sure that that is still available for you. So that, what you're talking about is deeming, because you want his value to still go up while you're taking yours. And I'm just going to double check the death rules on that. We'll talk about that in the first 15 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much. Look, she seems to be ahead of where most people are when they call on these Social Security rules. She did her research and she's just double checking.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'm going to double check for you.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we have a guest. He's a member of the Total Wealth Authority. This is the team we've assembled to handle all aspects of your financial well-being. Wes Blanchard's our guy. We'll ask them a little bit about these last two calls on the break here, too. But if you have a financial or estate planning situation, 504-260-0995. Also, I got to ask them about this crazy case. Some guy had do not resuscitate tattooed on his chest. And then when he went to the emergency room, what did the doctors do? I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
You're listening to Winning at Life. This is the weekly wrap. We do this every Saturday from 10 to 1. Our weeknight show is the daily wrap. You can pick us up at 7 o'clock every evening. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Live Financial Talk Radio.
I'm your co-host, James Parker, still coming up on the show. In the noon hour, we're going to be reviewing some of Trump's speech last night at the Pensacola rally. There's some great stuff in about the first 4 minutes. And then the other 48 minutes is a campaign rally. You could have turned it off after 6 minutes and been just fine. So I did the hard work. I cut out the important stuff. We'll listen to what's going to affect your wallet coming up in the next hour. In this hour, though, we got our buddy Wes Blanchard in studio. He's our estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority and of us. If I have an estate planning issue, I turn to Wes. If Gregory has an estate planning issue, the first guy he talks to, Wes Blanchard. Good enough for us, probably good enough for you too. So if you have any questions, 504-260-0995. Now, did you hear those last couple of questions there? With is Marie still, is she still on the phone over there, Angie? Producer Angie? All right, do that real quick, because I see she didn't hang up and she said through the break maybe she can reiterate it, because every once in a while we have a question that we haven't had on the show for a while, and if you totally trust your memory banks, sometimes you get bit. So we like to lean on expertise and a couple Google searches. All right, so she was gone. All right, let Gregory make sure I recreate her situation. Her husband passed away a couple years ago. She's 61. At 62, she wants to turn on her benefit and wait until her husband benefit maxes out. When he would have been age 70 or when she's age 70. I'm not sure what she's asking. She's just saying, is how does she get the biggest benefit out of that?
And I'm going back reviewing rules, because remember we had big changes in 2015 regarding the deeming, and if I turn this on, can I wait and switch over to the spouses later and such. For living benefits, yeah, it's changed and was affected. However, just let me scroll up here. So this, we're talking about surviving spouses will continue to be able to choose to collect either a survivor benefit or retirement benefit first and then switch to the other benefit later if it would result in a larger amount. The legislation did not change rules for surviving spouses, but keep in mind you are getting a haircut when you turn it on at 62, but if that gives you the ability and deciding which one first, whether it's your own benefit or the spouse's benefit, depends on which way would give you the larger benefit. And one thing about this is you do have to talk to Social Security about this, and it's something we can run at the office. We can run a calculator on this and tell you which way you get the best benefit also in that case. And you can't turn this benefit on online, so you do have to go down to your local Social Security office. So hopefully that helps you out, Marie. And
anything to add to that, Wes?
And if you have any questions, give us a holler at the office.
Yeah, because I don't know if we've ever dealt with it. Will it continue to grow through age 70 for her? Will she get that extra bonus? I figured the widow's benefit would just cut off at some point, and so you're going to get half of what he would have got at full retirement age.
Well, she's turning on hers and switching to his, which would be a switch at 66 in that case.
Okay.
At FRA. She's not going to get a deferral on him up to 70. So pretty much for survivors, it's the switch at FRA.
All right, never mind, Wes. We didn't even need you on that one. A guy comes into an emergency room. This is an ethical dilemma, and I know lawyers love ethical dilemmas. It's where you make your money. And he is not responsive. He's facing an emergency. And when they rip off the shirt to do the whole, you know, defibrillator clear, right? On his chest, it says, do not resuscitate. And so they're sitting there with the paddles, and the nurse goes, Doc, what do you think I should do? He says, well, it says, do not resuscitate, in tattoo, in permanent, on his chest. But this is one of those decisions where if we take one fork in the road, it's irreparable. Like, it can't be undone. If we take the other fork in the road, yeah, he's going to die later anyway. So, tell you what. All right, let's go ahead and save his life. We'll deal with the consequences later. Without knowing the rest of the details and what his wishes really were, your thoughts on that as from the legal perspective, Wes Blanchard?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's an interesting question. At some point, he's indicated that he has a DNR and he's felt so strongly about that he's tattooed it on his chest. The issue, obviously, from the doctor's perspective and from a legal perspective, is whether he still feels that way at this time, whether he changed his mind at a later date and perhaps couldn't afford to get that tattoo removed off his chest. And then what you hit on, the irreparable consequences of not resuscitating someone based on what is in essence a picture on his chest.
If it's on your chest though, and you don't want to be resuscitated and you tattooed on there, and look, people change their minds all the time. You know, I do too. I used to hate Justin Bieber. Now I love him. He could go back to the tattoo store and have an X put over not. So it just says do resuscitate.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, just from a very, very strictly legal perspective, every state's going to have their own requirements. But there's going to be some formalities that need to be, that are required in order for a living will, a DNR to take place. The signature is generally one. So having that, assuming there's not a signature on his chest, I mean, that in and of itself sort of presents a very weird problem. But from the doctor's perspective, yeah, I mean, you know, from malpractice and things like that, of course you're going to resuscitate the man. I don't think there's any question about it. It's a very weird dilemma that it sounds like the start of a very funny joke. But if I were faced with it, there's no way I'm letting him lay on the table based on the tattoo.
See, Gregory, this is why you like to ask a lawyer about these things. He has do not resuscitate on his chest. Do you honor it? I don't know. Did he sign his chest?
Right.
Was his chest notarized? Is that all it takes?
Exactly.
Then maybe you would have done it if there was a notary tattoo next to it, perhaps.
Can you draft your own will on your chest, on your arm? Can you do things like that? I mean, I would say not.
What if you like etched it into stone? Would that still... Anyway, let's not get too far out of it.
So they did resuscitate him, right?
They saved his life and then immediately went to the hospital, has lawyers on staff. Apparently they have ethics consultants in the building. And they said you did the right thing to the lawyers at the time. Look, this is a 7-year-old diabetic who drank himself basically into an alcoholic coma. And so
what if he had a bracelet that said do not resuscitate?
Again, I mean, it's all going to depend on the territory in which all this is happening, but formalities have to be required or followed rather. So, again, if you're the doctor, you're always going to err on the side of caution.
Okay. So, here's the good news. The guy wakes up, 70, finally gets out of his alcoholic coma, you know, diabetes, why not drink yourself until you pass out? The doctor's like, hey, that tattoo on your chest, did you really not want to be resuscitated? Because we don't know if we did the right thing. He goes, oh, no, don't pay any attention to that. I would prefer to be resuscitated, and I'm glad you did it. So, you know, maybe I should get something done about this tattoo just in case next time. I'll give you one and only one guess what state this happened in, ladies and gentlemen. One and only one guess. Who wants to go first, Gregory or Wes?
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
Is it Texas?
It's a techno. What? No. Where does all the stupid mutant stories in this country happen? The craziest state that we have where people find new innovative ways to get themselves killed or arrested or end up in the news. Florida. This is a total Florida story. Come on now.
I wouldn't have guessed Florida.
That's the craziest state we have, isn't it? People blowing themselves up, getting do not resuscitate tattoos. What a mistake it is for a tattoo, though. You know, some people get a tattoo of, you know, like their favorite band, and 20 years later they don't love the band anymore. They get a girl on their arm and they break up with her a month later. This is a real crazy one to get, though. Do not resuscitate.
I don't know. I go back and thinking about, you know, 5 a.m. getting into an aluminum boat with some rifles, motoring down the bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And you've dropped lines for a gator and you pull it. Oh, there's a gator on it. Shoot him. You know, and those guys up in Shreveport area, the hunters that hunt everything with the long beards, you know, who was that?
The Duck Dynasty guys. Yeah. The Robertsons.
So, yeah, those are examples of our state. So I think that's between Troy and them down in Pierre Part area and the Dynasty guys up in Shreveport with their duck calls and such. But I kind of think those people do some crazy things, and we hear some stuff in Louisiana. I was thinking our state instead of Florida, but that's what I was thinking back too. But, you know, do you have people on TV in Florida doing crazy stuff like that?
Who says duck hunting's crazy? That's the most normal thing in the world.
Oh, well, no, they made a bunch of money with duck calls, but did they look like they're part of the normal society?
They did not look mainstream.
No.
You get credit for that.
And Troy and them down in the bayou don't look normal either. Well, maybe normal for them, but look.
Is your wife listening? Where's she from? You really want to walk down this road? Don't you have to go hang out with your in-laws in a couple
that
weeks?
That is my point, is that sect of...
Your in-laws are a bunch of mutants? Is that what you're saying?
They're not my in-laws.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Your wife's from that general area?
Yeah, she's from Pierre Part.
And her family's...
Very normal. I don't see that abstract from that, but when you go to TV and see the stuff that people do, and I think that's some of the craziest stuff. Yeah, I watched that for a little while, and I said, oh, somebody's going to either get bit ridiculously, or they're going to shoot somebody else in the boat, so I just quit watching it. I said, this is totally crazy, and I've not seen that on TV from Florida.
There's very little crossover there. Hunting ducks, this is an animal that couldn't kill you if they wanted to, even if there's 1,000 of them, versus what is basically Jesus' perfect killing machine, an alligator, and you got to pull it up with a rope to where it's like a foot from you, and your buddy has to shoot it with a gun while you're like teetering in a boat that's rocking back and forth?
No, I'm talking about more like driving down the road, seeing roadkill, and say, oh, you know what that tail's worth? That's worth $5, and they stop and throw it in the back of the truck. That's more what I'm talking about. Not the
crazy
duck hunting or the making duck calls. From their side, yeah, pretty good business they're about. But this other stuff they do, sneaking on a golf course and going hunting. What is it they do? The hunting for frogs in the middle of the night, and then one of them ends up in jail because they were in private property. Okay, that's...
All right, Greg.
Do they do that stuff in Florida?
All right, you win. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Riggs.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Riggs here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Riggs & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRiggs.com, download the Gregory Riggs & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Let me introduce to you Butch Kerr, the creator of the amazingly true story of Santa Claus.
See, a lot of people don't know that Santa Claus was a real man. Nicholas was born in an area that is now Turkey, and then he became the Bishop of Myra, a man who goes throughout the world over a period of about a month every year, giving out Christmas presents for needy people.
One performance only, Saturday, December 9th at 11 a.m. at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
A lot of folks don't necessarily realize that if you're receiving Social Security, whether it's disability Social Security or retirement Social Security, once it's turned on, people don't realize that that Social Security check you receive the month of death has to be returned to Social Security. It's kind of a surprise. So, yeah, that $2,000 check has to go back. Or in grandmother's case, that's something I mentioned to mom, and she was unaware of. She said, oh, no, we don't have to give that back. Yeah, they're going to get it back. You got to live the whole entire month to keep that check.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Yeah, this is my town.
Welcome back, Winning at Life. This is the Weekly Wrap, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker in studio. Right across the table from me, Wes Blanchard, a W.J. Blanchard Law, estate planning attorney, a member of the Total Wealth Authority. That includes Jude Heath, CPA, Dwayne Stein, host of Mortgage Gumbo, and let's see, who I'm missing somebody else. No, I'm not.
Right now, it's just Dwayne, Wes, and Jude.
Yes, we have an opening in the Total Wealth Authority. The last month for Dwell Nola was this month. They've moved more to flipping real estate than selling it, I guess, was their reasoning.
They're turning into Donald Trump. They're doing his real estate model. Don't laugh. That's literally what they're doing.
It's something I don't necessarily agree with it. Somebody grows their business big over the past 6-7 years affiliated with us, and then all of a sudden, oh, we're way too busy, so we're going a little bit different direction. Well, I guess that's what success is having options and say, well, okay, now we're headed in this direction.
Don't bother me at all. I'm kind of honored to be a stepping stone to someone handling $8 million car lots instead of renting out half a shotgun double. Hey, I'm a stepping stone for someone. All right.
Absolutely. We like being a part of success here. That's what, you know, Winning at Life is about. We had, Wes, if you've got a question for Wes or myself, and in case you want to ask James a question, it's 504-260-0995. Now, Wes, we had a caller in the last segment of the first hour. His mom died 6 months ago, and they just sold the land that was left to them. When she died, there was a house on the land. They knocked the house down, and there's four of them splitting that, and he was wanting to know what he might owe in taxes. So I'm not going to tell you my answer. I'm going to let you answer.
Sure. I mean, so that's your step up in basis. you know, basic example problem, right? You inherit this property, you get a step up in basis, and I'm sure you covered this at length, but essentially you're going to get the market value of that property as determined on the date of his mother's death.
What should he do to determine that?
Get the best appraisal that you can get, is a way to mildly put it. You know, get that appraisal done, and then your tax consequences are just going to come from whatever you sell it over and above that appraisal.
Is that Tony there?
I think it's a different Tony.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what you're looking at there.
Yeah, and that's what he told him, and it was weird because it still changed because it was the house, but they said the house wasn't worth anything. They thought it'd be better to sell the land, so they knocked the house. Well, still, you're still wanting to get an appraisal, and the appraisal would basically show that as well if that was the case.
Sure. Ideally, you'd like to have had that done before the improvements were knocked down. This way you have the benefit of the hindsight of being able to say, oh, well, they do add some value, even if it's negligible, to the land, or hey, it's determined that we're going to go ahead and bulldoze this thing. Let's get some.
Yeah, because if you don't get the appraisal, how much are you probably being taxed, or what portion?
Well,
all of it.
Well, what it does, it creates a headache down the road, because you're going to be looking at trying to write off the difference between your step up and whatever you sell it for, as opposed to knowing that, hey, this is our starting point, this is our end point.
But, you know, people do go pay taxes on the whole inheritance value because they don't get this part done to justify it.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, I've had that dealt with siblings where the brother, we gave him the advice and he went and got the appraisal, and the two siblings like, we're not worried about it. So, yeah, we saved him thousands of dollars, and they weren't interested. I don't get that.
And it's one of those situations where, frankly, it does cost you a bit of money to save some money at the end of the day. The appraisal is going to run you a few hundred bucks, but if you're saving thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars, it's well worth it, obviously.
Yeah, if you're already in that strata where you're paying capital gains, it should be a no-brainer. But then again, you shouldn't be the kind of guy that gets caught with your pants down by that. All right, you want to go to this next Tony then?
Yes.
Tony Biloxi, how you doing? Welcome to the show. What can we do for you on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks? You're talking to Gregory Ricks, James Parker, and Wes Blanchard. Tony.
Yes, sir. Question. Me, my wife, my parent-laws all went in and bought two lots that had to be sold together. Our names were on both the lots. Our names were on, all four of our names were on the financing also. We ended up having the two lots separated between the parent laws and us. So the names on the portals were just me and my wife and them. Well, we sold the lots also together and profited about $50,000 off the lots. Wondering how that would work as far as taxes go.
So go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, that's pretty much it. We profited off both lots, $50,000, $25,000 a lot. They had their parcel, you know, with just their two names on it. We had our parcel with our two names on it. And they were also sold together. The bank got paid off. That was still in all four of our names as far as the financing goes.
All right, Wes, so what do you think?
So your financing, as far as the lending, is not going to determine how the tax liability is assessed. That's going to be how the ownership title read. So when you guys bought those two lots, you bought them all together as four folks. Sounds to me like you split them up. Husband and wife own one, and then the in-laws own the other one together. Ideally, just for ease of math, let's assume, you know, 25 on lot A and 25 on lot B. You're going to be paying each your assessment just on what you guys gained. Because if you sold them separately, as you parceled them off between each other, then you guys are the only ones that have profited. You and your wife, 25, and then your in-laws, 25. So it's broken down based on how much you own on the property. And since you split them up, that's how you're looking to be taxed. Is that clear?
25.
Say it again.
So it'll each be 25 on the capital gains.
As a couple, correct.
As a couple. Other quick question. The research I've done, I see scenarios where my income is much more than my wife. Would it be, with my name being on the property, would it, is it possible that I could still have her file separately and claim those gains just on her, or would I have to claim them together as far as taxes go?
You're going to need to call Jude.
Mine's roughly around $100,000. Hers is around $20,000 a year.
Look, what they're going to tax you on is going to be the gains. No matter how you try to word it, what grouping and such, if it was acquired for one price and you sold it for another higher, no matter how it's split, the gains are going to be taxable. It's complicated. Yeah, that's called the IRS. And that's why you probably, member of our Total Wealth Authority is Jude Heath, CPA. That's who I would consult with. Now, you know, Wes understands that I understand it, but still, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm just going to do the tax return myself. I don't do that. I know the rules, but I'm also going to have somebody that's their specialty handling that. And Jude Heath, you can go to my website, gregoryricks.com, go to the Wealth Authority tab, and all his contact information is there. And hopefully that helps you out. Get the correct help.
Yeah,
and that's part of what this show's about, is all these different scenarios. If it's not my main specialty or Wes's, we've got somebody else in line to help you with that. Even though I might know the rules and tell you the rules, you're still going to go talk to Jude Heath at the end of the day.
Well, I just know if Jude was here, he would say, is this a long-term or short-term capital gain? How long did you hold it? If your income's above, what is it, $200,000, then you're subjected to that extra tax, the 3.8% from Obamacare. What's that called, like the investor's tax or the something or other? So there's 28 other questions he's going to ask you that, I know it sounds complicated, Tony, but that's how you get the final answer, which we can't get you today. 504-260-0995. Jim in Covington, we only have a minute here. Let's get your question and see if we can get you an answer on the other side of the break. What's up, Jim?
You was talking about the getting an appraisal on the property after one of the spouses died. Right now, I got my will set up that when I die, my kids get everything, because I had a house before I got married, my second wife. But I got it set up that my kids inherit everything, but she gets usufruct of the house. When should my kids ask for an appraisal, when I die or when my wife dies?
I would get it as soon as you pass away, because the value is determined at the date of your death.
Okay.
Yeah, and then if she wants to turn around and go sell it because she has to go into a nursing home or move to another state or be closer to the kids or whatever, then we'll need that marker set from when you die. All right, well, good. We don't have to hold you over the break. Thanks for your question there, Jim. Right? That's problem solved, huh?
Yep.
Next problem, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We got Wes Blanchard in studio, our estate planning attorney. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
In the fourth quarter of last year, equity increased by a total in the U.S. of over $680 billion. That's a lot of equity being built, which is why you're seeing refinances are through the roof. You mix that in with the rates going down. We're doing a ton of those over here at Cross Country Mortgage.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
Now is the time to get in the game. I think long term, this is not something that we can see where we're going to get back to the all-time lows.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
Hey, Raj, happy birthday. How are you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Because you make me want to put his truck to the side of the road. Slide on over, let me hold you close and tell you everything I'm thinking. Hop on out and let the tailgate fall. Get drunk on you with no alcohol. If you don't stop, I'm going. Well, girl, you make me want to.
Yeah. Welcome back. Winning at Life, weekly wrap, every Saturday at 10. By the way, we do this on weeknights at 7. It's live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We have Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney, in studio with us this hour. And you've been lighting up the phones. Good job. Show participation. We enjoy that. If you have a financial situation or an estate planning situation, or regarding setting up a will or a trust, anything related to that, on some how-tos or guidance, or who do you need to see, or what questions you need to ask, give us a call, 504-260-0995.
Something we talk about on the show, Wes Blanchard, in December, we have to do this every year. There's a handful of things that, for investing purposes, you need to get taken care of before the end of the year. Is there anything that the average Joe needs to assess as far as estate planning goes before the end of the year?
Well, I always look at holidays, in particular Thanksgiving and Christmas, as sort of a good opportunity to have that conversation with your parents. And the reason for that is you know, everybody's kind of at the same table at once, and everybody's there. It's kind of out in the open. So you don't feel like, hey, we went over to mom's and my three or four other siblings weren't there. And, you know, we had this conversation about estate planning and all this other stuff. It kind of makes you feel a little icky. You know, mom, dad might feel a little icky talking about that to just one of the kids. But when you do it sort of out in the open and everyone's there around the round table, it produces a decent discussion, not only amongst the parents, but also with the siblings as well. And so I think that, again, creates a really good opportunity to kind of deal with it in a very subtle but respectful way. And again, every time you talk about estate planning, it's one of those things that's always going to be a tough conversation to have. When you have it around your family members who you know care for you and love you and want your best interest at heart, again, it kind of eases that pain a bit, eases that awkwardness. And so holidays seem to be a little more of an easy setup than like I said, the normal fish fry or something like
that. It's conducive to those conversations.
It's a great word for it.
Look, I understand when you say, you know, so these are uncomfortable conversations. And when my grandfather was in his, you know, last couple of years there, I didn't know it. He didn't know it, I don't think, because he kept having these conversations with me, like these sort of end of life conversations. Look, you're only 78, but that's nothing these days. You could live another 20 years. You probably at least got another 10 years. No, you don't have to give me that pistol now. I know it's beautiful. I just stop trying to give me stuff. And now I feel horrible because I robbed him of the joy of giving stuff away. He didn't get to see it go away. I took that from him. So now I feel like the opposite. If there's any question that if you should have the conversation, then you definitely should have the conversation, because the worst thing that could happen was they tell you no, or they give you a different set of circumstances, or even if it doesn't work out the way you want, you don't have to live the rest of your life trying to go back and wish you had a conversation that didn't happen.
Correct. And you know, one of the ways that I find is a little easier to have that conversation is don't approach the person and ask, how's your estate plan looking? You know, ask them, hey, do you have one? You know, it doesn't inquire about the contents. It doesn't inquire about anything more personal than, do you have a plan set up? And I think that in and of itself is going to get the conversation started. And you don't have to pry into who's getting what and when and how and why. More or less, have that conversation, bring them down the path of just whatever they want to happen. Let's help you get that done. I don't care if I know about it. Frankly, if you're a child, you shouldn't be helping your parent make decisions about how things are going to pass down to the heirs anyway. That subjects you to an undue influence claim, which could throw a monkey wrench in everything they have set up. But nonetheless, helping them at least get that thought planted in their mind and doing it subtly. It is about wording. It is about sort of making sure that you come off selfless as opposed to selfish. And I think that's something that's important when you're bringing up the conversation.
I'm going to ask you about that undue influence after we talk to Anthony in Biloxi. If you want to be after Anthony, 504-260-0995. What's up, Anthony? How can we help you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Thank you, Anthony.
Question for you. I'm in the process of selling a business, and my broker was telling me that there are certain ways to protect myself from capital gains by reinvesting into another business. I also have real estate holdings. So I wanted to know if you guys could tell me a little more about that, or if that's, just hearsay. So I'm trying to figure out, once I do sell the business, how can I hang on to more of that money and reinvest, and what are the parameters for that?
Typing is happening, Anthony.
Everybody's looking at me right now.
Because I'm leaning towards something, but I don't want to be wrong four times in the same show. I've already been wrong enough today.
Does this business include land?
No, it does not.
Well, that leads me to check up here to see here's the question. I don't know where James is. That's 1031.
That's exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Can we use a 1031 exchange for business?
Correct. That's what they
call it, yes. Yeah. Failure to consider and plan for tax saving benefits of a 1031 exchange before closing on the sale can leave you with far less capital after taxes to invest in another business. So you should look into doing a 1031 exchange.
So I have to have the business lined up that I'm looking to invest in before the closing of the deal, correct?
Yeah, you can have up to three in line, and I believe you have to close on the new business in 180 days.
Remember when we had Tracy in here, and she was talking about there's third-party intermediaries that will sort of be the go-between when you're doing the 1031 exchange?
Yeah, you won't. To utilize somebody that is an expert in this area, so there's not anything messed up, and next thing you know, you're taxed a bunch of money.
Okay.
What could can be exchanged under? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Could it be invested in an existing business? Because I have several businesses. Could it be put into an existing business as capital to take that business to another level or expand?
I'll help you with that this way. What can it what can be exchanged under Section 1031. So, you know, that tells you this is an IRS code. Mm-hmm. Depreciable, tangible personal property used in the trade or business, franchise agreement rights, equipment and furnishings, leasehold improvement, customer lists, real property. What cannot be exchanged under Section 1031, goodwill, covenants not to compete, inventory, security, stocks, bonds, or evidence of indebtedness. There are also many business transactions that involve the sale of both real property and personal property, such as sale of hotels, restaurants, convenience stores, and gas stations, where the business owner possesses both real and personal property. In those cases, the business owner must generally allocate the consideration received for the personal property assets. I tell you what, you probably should get somebody that understands 1031 exchanges, and I would think your broker probably should be able to help you find that source if they're in the business of selling businesses, and then make sure you talk to a CPA because this deals with taxes.
That
making
help?
Sure you get it, what should be categorized with that exchange.
Your thoughts, Anthony?
Yeah, that's good news. I mean, it sounds like it's navigable, just have to have the right help to do it, but it's, at least there is a thread of hope there. I'm not just going to pay capital gains on the entire sale price of the business if I planned correctly.
Yeah, well, it sounds like generally you've heard correctly. The details is always the devil's. So, yeah, there is a thread of hope. Absolutely. Glad you called, Anthony. Thank you, sir. Let's sneak in Dan from Pearl River real quick. At least we can get his question in for the break. Dan, Pearl River, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning. Hey.
Oh, I'm doing great. Well, anyway, my question is concerning inheritance property. Once it's put in succession, is there a time limit where the succession has to be carried out?
All right, pause on Dan. Wes, can you answer that in 20 seconds?
There's not generally a time limit, but you do have rights to enforce delays and things like that. Whoever's the administrator of the estate is responsible for doing so in a timely and responsible fashion.
All right, there you go, Dan. That was a quick answer. Thank you, Wes. Got Brent, you're going to be next. If you want to be after Brent, phones are open, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We got Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney, in studio of the Total Wealth Authority. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
What better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials? Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Cares Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Typically, the wife is the automatic beneficiary of the 401k. And if you did change the beneficiary, it's a two-part process. You've got to get her to sign a waiver, and then you have to do a change of beneficiary form.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200
or GregoryRicks.com.
An attorney a while back died, and he was in his second marriage, and the first wife was the beneficiary of the IRA. And she wasn't the sharing kind, so the second wife was out of that money. If that's what his intent was, well, it played out that way, but the children were arguing it was supposed to go to them, and it was quite a bit of money. You always need to be reviewing these accounts to make sure your beneficiary designations are up to date. If your advisor's not asking you about this every year and making sure that we've got copies of documents, that you know how this is listed, you might be working with the wrong person.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. Happy Saturday. Hopefully it's an awesome one like we're having here on Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We have Wes Blanchard in studio, estate planning, related wills, trusts, step-up basis on real estate, whatever you can think of. Ask him a question. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. This is live financial talk radio that we do every Saturday at 10 and weeknights at 7. The phone number to jump in a conversation is 504-260-0995. And I guess we'll jump over here to Brent in Metairie.
There's an N in there, Brent.
Brent.
Welcome to the show. Good morning. I've got a question for Wes about the use of family LLCs for estate planning purposes. In my case, I have some cash flowing business interests, and I've heard about people putting these interests in family LLCs for purposes of it going to their heirs. And my particular interest is, how does a family LLC differ from a conventional LLC, and how do you structure it so that I would, for example, be able to keep the income during my lifetime and not have to have the heirs as owners getting K-1s and things like that.
Okay, I was a little confused on the back end there when you said you'd like to keep the income through your lifetime, but the heirs not be owners?
Well, how do you structure the heirs as owners but not have them receiving K-1s or not have them getting tax consequences while I'm still alive and keeping the income?
Sure, understood. That's all going to be taken care of in operating agreements. And that is essentially where you start differentiating between an LLC of just the standard garden variety and a family LLC. The family LLC is going to be generally set up for that purpose with a lot of estate planning in mind. Meaning, you know, they're going to have some of these same considerations that you're looking for, passing on the money, using the money while we can, but not necessarily having it tied up in a succession process and things like that. So an operating agreement, first of all, is a great idea with any LLC, unless you have just a simple single member LLC. Even then, you want to look into it. But generally speaking, as soon as you get into two members or more, you want to be looking at an operating agreement. Where you're looking at a family LLC is set up essentially for the exact purpose that you're looking at, right? So you want to pass on ownership, or maybe you just want to have a direct income. And so you do that just essentially through an operating agreement. Now, you may have an interest and it allows you, you know, to vote and things like that and maybe control some of this stuff. And the family members might have a membership interest that doesn't yield any cash. Now, all of that is things that can only be taken care of through an operating agreement. Those are not default rules. So you want to come in, make sure that that's drawn up, that everybody signs off on it, and that there's a business succession plan that's in place within that operating agreement for the time that you pass away, that then deals with the income that you've been receiving, as well as now differentiating between the memberships and who receives that interest and what kind of interest they're receiving as well.
So it basically what happens is the heirs, let's say they're your children or your nieces and nephews or something like that, are basically like passive members of this LLC until you pass away, and then the operating agreement provides for a transition of management and then redistribution of the revenues.
That's correct. And again, what you're looking for is it's clear that you need that operating agreement in place. These are not default rules. You do have flexibility, but only through the use of an operating agreement.
But there's nothing that you haven't mentioned wills or trusts so far. This is all within the LLC documents?
That's it. You can have a business succession plan within that document itself. Unless you're passing on membership interest in LLCs, that's when you're looking, you know, if Brent has a membership interest and he wants someone other than the kids or someone other than anyone in his family to receive that upon his death, at that point is when a will or a trust comes in. But if you're talking about everyone having a membership interest and you're just divvying up income and then having a succession plan afterwards, you can include that in the operating agreement and get your way.
What's the definition of a family LLC then? Bryn already knew what it was, but I didn't.
Yeah, so they're basically created for this purpose where your LLC is going to live on. It's not tied up in succession. You reduce, if not altogether eliminate, the risk of the business coming to a halt through a succession fight or until succession is processed and things like that. It allows the business to be carried on very smoothly after, you know, the main culprit, if you will, passes away.
Is this something I should be interested in?
Certainly look at it. It really just depends on what kind of structuring you're looking for and what you're looking to do, you know, whether your family members are interested in continuing on the business.
Oh, yeah, they probably won't be. I'm not sure they love what their old man does.
My main question focuses on, is that a way to reduce the amount of the taxable estate by already having them as interest holders on that?
You're dodging the estate tax. Yeah.
Yeah, that does help a lot.
No, you're managing your tax liability.
right. Well played.
And look, frankly, you know, that does help with that. But from the looks of this new tax bill, it probably is something you may or may not be worried about anyway. If we're looking, I think it's out to 2024, the estate tax is going to be eliminated altogether if everything stays in place. And, you know, again, so that may be something that, you know, is a moot point. But yes, that is a way to manage your estate tax liability.
All right. Great stuff, Brent. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to stick with the phones here. Greg. No, not you. You're Gregory. He's Greg in Maripas. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you? Other Greg.
The other Greg. Okay, that's me. My wife and I purchased a condo in Florida about 4 years ago, and we live there about half the time. The other half of the time we live in Louisiana. We sold the condo recently and made about $100,000 on the sale, and we considered it half the time home because we live there half the time and the other half the time here in Louisiana, and we're wondering what our tax liability will be.
Do you currently have a homestead exemption on your house in Louisiana?
Yes.
Okay. I think that is probably going to be the determining factor as far as, you know, what you're looking at, or at least is going to be one of the ones you're going to look at as far as whether it's, pardon me, considered the sale of your home. Are you registered to vote in Louisiana or in Florida?
Here in Louisiana.
Here, and your driver's license is here as well?
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, you have very, very limited wiggle room when it comes to making a case to the IRS that was your primary residence. Because you're still registered here, you're still, in effect, domiciled here. all of those are factors that's going to cut towards having Louisiana as your primary residence, and unfortunately subjecting you to the capital gains tax on the sale of the Florida residence.
Sorry about that, Greg.
But congratulations on a massive profit on the sale.
Good problem to have.
Will we owe tax on just the profit, or the...
Yes, just the profit.
Yep, that you got it, Greg. Do we have time to get into Sandy here? Well, we got to wait on Angie. See, because it's X, and then it needs... There it is. Go ahead and pull up Sandy there, Angie. We're going to talk to her real quick. Sandy Hattiesburg, make it quick. We got 2 minutes.
I have a trust, and in that trust, I have 4 beneficiaries. I was wondering if I took, well, I actually had 5 beneficiaries. If I took one of those beneficiaries off and just scratched out their name and had the other ones inside it, is that good enough?
Look. I wouldn't go about doing it that way. If you're going to remove a beneficiary, you should have it notarized. You should have it done in an addendum or a codicil or just any sort of, again, witnessed and notarized document that makes that change. Is this a revocable or an irrevocable trust?
Revocable.
Revocable. So that's, again... Kudos to you for that. That's one of the main reasons, you know, we don't get into irrevocable trust unless we absolutely need to. So you do have the flexibility of doing that. And with that said, honestly, you know, I would go right back to the estate planning attorney that you went to the first time and let him or her know that you want to make that change. It's a lot better than having just a crossed out name with your initials next to it and then you sign it. I think you're kind of asking for trouble in that regard, and it's probably worth the trip down to just get it taken care of to make sure that there's not any sort of fight over that kind of small change.
Thank you for your call, Sandy. Good stuff. Wes Blanchard, appreciate your time on a Saturday and all the work you do with us during the week, too.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for hanging out. What's your website again?
WJ Blanchard Law. Look, we're currently under construction, so we will have a brand spanking new site for you ready in 2018.
All right, so if you need any action from Wes, you can just call Gregory's office, and we'll holler down the hall at him. Questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome. Happy Saturday. This is like winter weather. It's just been like Christmas here, cold weather. Man, was I cold yesterday. Hey, this is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to live, that's right, live financial talk radio. We do that right here every Saturday.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up in this hour of the show, as soon as I can figure out why there was, what's that, where ice, where the water becomes solid, is that ice? It was falling out of the sky
like
yesterday.
Sleet and snow.
I thought that was just on TV.
We're getting a mix of all that.
Oh, what is this, North Pole? So as soon as we can figure that out, we'll do some financial news, some financial advice. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. This guy across the table from me is a financial advisor who... knows about as much about finances and money as anyone I've ever met in my life. And just keep listening to the show. You'll hear him give out some great advice. You could be next, 504-260-0995. Now, we have Trump, who's going to be in Jackson today, and he's going to be there for the opening of a civil rights museum. Yesterday, last night, he was in Florida, barely Florida. Does Pensacola even count as Florida? I mean, you understand the theory there that the panhandle of Florida, there's a great case to be made. It could secede from Florida and annex into South Alabama, and no one would even notice for a few years, right? But, you know, that Pensacola rally yesterday, that felt like a campaign rally more than anything. He had kind of gotten off of the campaign type rhetoric and been a little more business and sticking with teleprompters and, you know, just pushing whatever bill's hot at the moment. But he did that for about 4 or 5 minutes yesterday, and then he went off and did his own thing for almost an hour after that. It got kind of frustrating, but it does make it easy to break down and digest for the show. I only have really about 4 minutes of content that, and when I say 4 minutes of content, I'm talking about things that affect you and your wallet. I'm talking about things that affect you and your taxes, whether or not there's going to be another job or some business is expanding or a job's going overseas. These are things that affect us. Who's going to win in whatever race? That's politics, and we don't deal with that on this show. So a lot of this was concerning what's going down with the tax reform. Any quick overview before we start breaking down the audio, Gregory?
No, I was just looking. You were talking about the cold weather. Have you ever seen a white beach?
Not with white my own beach. Eyes.
No, not with my own eyes, but just look here looking at a picture. But I wasn't wanting to get out in it anyhow yesterday to drive down to the beach in Gulfport and look at a white beach. But I'm sure it was very white with all that snow, but just it's hard to believe that it would stick. Obviously, really cold enough to do so.
This is such a rare occurrence in my life. When ice falls out of the sky, I act like a child. I have no idea what to do. I'm so lost at this moment. All right, tell you what, we'll jump into this Trump audio after we talk to Susan. She looks like she might have a good question for us. Susan, calling from over in Hammond. How can we help you? You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Okay. My husband is retired. He's from Shell. And we have a good amount saved, over $1 million in his retirement fund, plus he gets a pension. I'm still working. We have two rental properties that are paid outright. We don't owe anything. We don't owe anything on our private home. Make a short story long, we're selling the rental property that I have with my brother. I'll recognize about $55,000, $60,000 profit once that house is sold. My question is this, what should I do with that money? We each have two cars that we owe about $15,000 each on the cars, but they're at 0% interest, which is why we didn't pay them off to begin with. The only thing we owe on is a travel trailer that we recently bought, and we owe about $30,000 on it. And then I guess about $5,000 in credit cards, which, you know, is a, what should I do with the money? Should I pay off the cars and the trailer, or should I invest it?
How much emergency savings do you have?
Well, right now about $17,000.
What is your age?
I'm 58.
And your husband's age?
60.
And how far off is retirement?
My husband is retired.
Okay.
He was.
So he's drawing the pension. He's drawing the pension now?
Yes.
And he still has his 401k with Shell, correct?
Right, which we don't touch because we don't need to.
Okay. And you have $17,000. So are you netting $60,000 from the sale, you and your husband, of that rental property, or is that before taxes?
No, that's before taxes.
Okay, so we're probably giving up, what, a third of that?
I don't know.
So that's, well, you're going to have some taxes because you depreciated the property and it's probably worth more. How long did you have it?
The property we inherited from my brother who passed away, and I own the house. We've rented it for about 5 years, but both my brother and I, my brother course, who's still living, that I own the house with, have decided, you know, we don't want to be landlords anymore.
I can understand that. So did you get an appraisal on it when you inherited it?
Well, I guess we did for the property to be put in our name. I really don't know.
Because you get a step. Here's it's complicated. You need your CPA to handle that or call ours, Jude Heath. That's at GregoryRicks.com. But you've got, when you inherited that property, you get a step up basis in the value. So basically you have it untaxed at the value that it was when you inherited it. Now you're selling it. So you're probably going to be taxed on that depreciation you took. And then if it was worth $100K when you inherited the property, then now it's worth, say, $150. You know you have that tax on that gain right there. So somewhere you've got $60,000. A portion of it's going to be taxed. We don't know how much, but in my opinion, I think $50,000 is a minimum number for emergency money, and that gets you close there. That's where you start with that money. And then looking at maybe paying off something that has high interest rate. Then beyond that, look at where can I put this away to help me in the future when I need it.
Yeah, if you have a zero interest loan, mathematically speaking, you would want to pay that off last, right?
Yeah, that credit card might be something to pay off, but I want to get that savings up to $50,000. You're going to need it one day.
Thank you for your call, Susan. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Join the Jefferson Performing Arts Society for the regional premiere of the enchanting Broadway musical Tuck Everlasting. Bring the entire family for this beautifully drawn, evocative tale of 11-year-old Winnie Foster, who longs for adventure. When she meets the Tucks and discovers they hold the secret to everlasting life, she faces an extraordinary choice. Return to her own family or join the Tucks on their never-ending journey. Playing December 8th through 17th at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or jpas.org.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
One family retiring in the first quarter of this year. He has $500,000 in assets, but he has some family issues going on, bills. He's needing to extract $100,000 from that account once he retires. And that's, once again, we know is a big taxable event. But then he's saying, hey, I need $30,000 a year in income from the remaining assets. I did the math for him in the first visit. He's going to be broke, best case, in 12 years. I can't fix that. And you don't need to pay me fees, and you don't need to take risk. Risk is not going to help you make that work. It's going to help you part from that money earlier.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Your sweet kiss, your lips on a night like this.
Welcome back. You're catching us on the weekly wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. James Parker, co-host in studio as well. It's interesting. We're kind of getting some decorations put in our studio here this morning. I guess kind of it is December and it's cold. So Christmas must be coming.
Hey, don't tell your wife I said this. That snowman's frightening.
What kind of phobia is that, afraid of snowman?
It's a new one here, but he doesn't look like a regular snowman. He looks like Frosty the Snowman from hell.
And you want to, we're telling you what's going on in the studio, but you can actually see it too. We are on Facebook Live streaming and Periscope. Everybody knows what Coca-Cola is and what Facebook is. Doesn't mean you use Facebook or drink Coca-Cola. I, for one, don't drink Coca-Cola or any of those carbonated soft drinks. I gave up, I don't know, what, 3-4 years ago? And, but I have Facebook Live and we're streaming live on that, and you can go to periscope.com. That's one you've probably not heard of, and you can do streaming there as well and watch the show as well as listen to it on that streaming service, or just continue using your radio air feed as such. But this is Live Financial Talk Radio. We kind of talk about everything, all financial, anywhere from annuities to mutual funds to Trump's GDP, tax reform.
Tell you what, we've been healthcare. Getting a lot. We're still getting a lot of the pension lump sum buyout offers, because who else do you call when your company comes to you and they want to buy you out of your pension? You can't call any of these other radio hosts. There's no one running commercials that says, if you have a pension issue, give me a call. This is about it. It's just us and Google.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and actually lately we've had a lot of calls on this selling property that's inherited. So it started out that last call we're talking about, well, we're selling a rental property, but then there's more information came out as she continued the asked questions, and it turns out they inherited the property, then rented it. Not uncommon, but it goes back to, once again, if you're in a position where all of a sudden you find out you're inheriting this property, and they may not know in advance, but once you get wind of, hey, you're about to inherit this property, I would be about getting an appraisal on that property that I'm going to inherit, so I get that step up basis on taxes, because I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to. Hopefully, Trump, D.C., Congress, all those in the swamp up there too, I hope they all get their heads together and give us some relief across the board, and definitely on the business side. But if you'd like to participate in the show, this number you can use, 504-260-0995. And another simple way to connect with us is the Winning at Life app. Go to your app store, do a search for Winning at Life, or if it doesn't come up, because we've made some changes on that with Apple lately, and there we're lagging a couple of days on getting that updated. Just type in then Gregory Ricks, and it'll probably show up as Gregory Ricks and Associates. Click on that, download the app. It's a free download. You can text the show, email the show, call the show, and a lot of other cool stuff that comes with the free app one-time registration.
Speaking of Periscope, Cowboy Dan in Periscope asked, have either one of you read the tax bill?
This new one?
Yeah.
I have not.
No, I haven't either. That, of course not.
Does he know how many pages it is? Let's find out.
And would it matter if I read it all anyway? You know, I don't mean to make the case that lawmakers have no business reading the bills, but The whole argument, like, well, we didn't even have a chance to read it. We're going to vote on this before we read it. Everyone that was saying that, there was a 0% chance they were going to change their mind given the opportunity to read the bill. Both sides do it. Both sides pass bills without people reading them. In fact, most of the laws we get passed get passed without someone reading them. And why? I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying you can't understand it anyway. Look, you know what's a good car and what's not a good car. And when you drive it and test drive it and you can talk to other people and you have other people do analysis about your car, you can know that's a good car. by reading consumer reports, by touching it yourself, by other people who've experienced it. But if I throw you the engineering schematics straight from GM's engineering department, that's not going to help you or hurt you. You're not going to have any idea if that helps or hurts. I mean, you may be able to pick some stuff out of there, but okay.
I'm almost send something over to you right here. Put on the screen.
All right, what we got?
No, that's...
It was on that screen. There you go. So you're putting something up on the big board?
Yeah, I'm just showing
studio.
You what... I'm just showing you what kind of read it is, and it's actually... This is, I believe, from New York Times website, and the bill that the House passed is 429 pages, but I was just giving you an example of what this looks like as you go through it. So it might not be too bad of a read, but it hasn't. I've got a few books still ahead of me on my reading list I'm working through right now.
Look, here's the good summary, though, because I'm with you that
knowledge, I don't know what the Senate one is.
Knowledge of this bill is important. It's important you know what's going on here. This will affect your life more so than that ice that fell out of the sky yesterday, or who kneeled at an anthem, or who's protesting what, or what those signs say at the protest in Jackson right now. But here's some key differences between the two tax plans now that it's in conference committee. The Senate has 7 tax brackets, technically 8 because one of them is 0. The House has 4. So it's a little less complicated on the House version, not really less complicated on the Senate version. So I lean toward the House on that one. In the Senate version, they have the individual tax cuts expiring 8 years into the bill, and the corporate tax cut isn't immediate. It's delayed 1 year, which I think is a horrible idea. The House bill repeals the alternative minimum tax. The Senate bill makes it a little softer. They kind of nudge it up a little bit, but it still exists. It just gets modified. One thing I do like about the Senate bill over the House bill, though, the Senate bill repeals the individual mandate, which means it repeals the tax penalty for not having insurance. So that's a nice little summary there.
Salt, I think, well, from what I was hearing yesterday, I think that, you know, the state taxes.
State and local
taxes. That you
taxes
can deduct. I think that's going away. It's what it sounded like from discussions about what the committee's talking about. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, is I don't know what's going to stay and change. But one of the things that came to my attention this week is recharacterization of Roth IRAs. Being it's likely we're getting a tax bill before the end of this month. And in that tax bill, if you have converted money from an IRA to a Roth IRA, all past years we've had up until October 15th, the last extension that you can file on doing your tax return to recharacterize. And recharacterize means to undo that Roth conversion and put the money back as if it never happened. So, you know, under normal rules, if you did a Roth conversion this year, you would have until October 15th of 2018 to undo it, or when you file your taxes, whichever is earlier in that case. Both the versions of the bill says you cannot recharacterize after December 31st. So if you've done a Roth conversion and saying, you know, I did it but to get it done, but I don't know if I really want to, I may change my mind, or when I see the tax bill, I may undo it. I would be considering that the last couple weeks we have of the month, that if you're thinking about recharacterizing it, I would go ahead and recharacterize. If it was me that I was unsure, I wanted to bite off that tax bill as such, because if we're getting a tax bill and they're both on the same page, recharacterization beyond December 31st is going away.
Well, they may as well just get rid of it altogether then, because how do you know when you want to recharacterize? It's not when you find out, oh, I'm going to have tax-free distributions or tax-free growth or, you know, any of the other actual Roth components. It's going to be about the tax bite. And most people aren't going to know what bracket they're in and what the actual hit's going to be and where all the final chips are going to fall until you do your taxes. And no one does their taxes until after December 31st. So this, you might as well just get rid of the whole thing going first.
Well, let's look at a couple reasons why you might want to recharacterize an amount. You know, one of it is really the most important thing I've always seen. I won't get into four, but the most important thing I see when people do a Roth conversion and then undo it is called sticker shock of the tax bill. That's the main thing. And you should have a handle on that when you've done it anyhow. If not, get with your tax person and jump on that now and do that. There's some other market situations that could cause that, but I've always dealt with people being unhappy about a tax bill that they knew, but it's sticker shock when it shows up on your 1040.
Yeah, it's all theoretical till you have to cut the check. All right, financial situations, bring them on. 504-260-0995. I'm telling you, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. 504-260-0995. We'll have some calls, and we'll have Trump audio from Pensacola yesterday coming up next. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We have the ability to work in the banking world. We have the ability to work in the Wall Street world. We also have the ability to work in the insured money world, and that also includes annuities.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com. You know what sounds crazy is that my kids have never made a long-distance phone call. They'll never make a long-distance phone call. Why? Because we have cell phones now. Hey, James Parker here. It used to be a big deal to have a 1-800 number. Nah, it doesn't matter. And then you remember when the internet was still kind of new? Before every website, they would say www.whatever.com. And now they just say winningatlife.com. Well, we're getting past that now. Now we don't even give out the phone number on half the ads you hear. And you'll still hear a lot of people throw in their .com. But a lot of people are just telling you to download their app. Or they're not saying anything at all, knowing you'll go look it up. So that's where you're at. You want to call the show? You want to text the show? Download the Winning at Life app. And if you want to listen live, but you're not sure if we're on right now or what station, you just go to the app. You want to hear a podcast at any time, on demand, it's on the app. If you want to find us on Twitter, Facebook, or learn from our YouTube clips, that's all connected to the app now. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
You're looking to expand your family, aren't you? Might be a little extra hair around the house, some vet bills, little extra noise, but it's totally worth it. Do the right thing. Don't buy. Adopt. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Biloxi, Kismet Pet Adoptions will help you expand your family. KismetPetAdoptions.com. K-I-S-M-E-T PetAdoptions.com.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email James at GregoryRicks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
May we all know that nothing ain't cool till you hear the new off the sound of the corduroy rolling down the jukebox. Play the saddest trip right above the two pie. Before you get lost down some road.
back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. You also know it as Live Financial Talk Radio. If you have a financial situation, unsure what to do, maybe it's about mutual funds. Might be about exchange-traded funds. I know you had asked me about playing that segment earlier. We could do that if we have time. I know we get a lot of callers during the show, but it could be that lump sum pension or what to do with that 401k or those stock options. All great, interesting stuff. And if you need a little help, we'll give you a phone number, 504-260-0995. GregoryRicks.com has a site chat there as well. Email me, Gregory@GregoryRicks.com. And the Winning at Life app. Just go to your app store, do a search for Winning at Life or Gregory Ricks, and that will link you to a free download that you can text, email, call through the app, and a whole bunch of other fun and informative information with that app.
All right, we had the numbers come out, Angie Phone. We had the numbers come out for the jobs report, and things are looking pretty tidy out there. The unemployment rate stayed at 4.1%, exactly where it was in October, but that's the low it's been in, what was it, 17 years, I believe? Couple of things I like, couple things I don't like about this. Number one, the employment population ratio went down. This the civilian labor force only went up 148,000. That did not keep up with population growth overall. So we actually have 35,000 more people not in the labor force in November than we had in October. I mean, look, that's kind of about staying flat, but we don't need that to stay flat. We need people wildly coming back into the labor force. It was just September where we had a million fewer people who were not in the labor force. We had a million people, and that's in 2 months, that are counted not in the labor force that were counted 2 months ago. That's some shady math, but if you want to hear more shady math, this is about where we were last November. So they're still fudging all these numbers, Gregory. We have to look at the report because it's better than nothing, but there's no way we're at 4.1%, and there's no way all these people are falling in and out of the workforce in these ridiculous numbers. Some of these people were genuinely unemployed. That being said, that's the backdrop for Trump's visit to Pensacola last night, the great jobs report bolstered by the advancements we've had on his tax reform preferences. He was feeling his oats yesterday, and you got to give him credit. He was pointing out some things that I hadn't heard other people saying about the jobs report yesterday. Check this one out, Gregory.
Hispanic unemployment is the lowest ever recorded. Any Hispanics here? Any Hispanics?
What is it? This guy's so funny. Really, the lowest Hispanic unemployment rate ever recorded? That's got to be a plus, although it's kind of a fudge number still. Does that tickle your fancy any, Gregory?
I enjoyed listening to the speech last night. I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking about it that I thought he is getting better at those rallies. And of course you said, oh well, he was always really good at it, but I really believe he's better. His posture and everything's better, and the planning and organization of it, and his comfort. You can see he's comfortable in being president and in that suit, so to speak, because he's not showing up as Trump, the founder and owner of Trump Enterprises, but he's showing up and being comfortable as Trump, the president. And I, for one, don't know how he does it, because it's like he's beat up every day in the media and just everything that goes on. And he just gets up there and doesn't show it. Just so positive. Things good. And look, things are going good. He gets beat up on, but it all falls off, just rolls right off. And he just keeps on going.
His next point you're going to like.
The stock market is hitting an all-time high record for another, and think of this, 86 times since Election Day. 86 times it hit a record. 86 times.
So he's super happy about that. He's bringing that up. But, hey, that record low Hispanic employment or the 86 records, that hadn't been in a lot of the reporting I've seen from the old jobs report or from anyone else talking about the economy. That he kind of has to fill in the gaps.
It's been heck of a run since the election.
All right, I have a couple more I'm going to run by you, but let's go to the phones real quick. John, West Point, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Riggs. Hang on, John, did you call last week?
I thought it was another one.
But no, it was us. John, I'm just telling you this because I liked your call so much, I pulled out the video for it, and I shared it out on our Facebook and on the YouTube channel. So if you got Facebook, I know you do, just look for Winning It Life, hit follow, and boom, you can see our call with you yesterday. Last Saturday.
Right. Hey, look, my question is, I'm retired Air Force and civil service. I put a lot of money in my TSP. So what do you think I should be running my TSP as? I'm running right now CS&I. Do you think I should change that or go to another formula or what?
I am looking up a comparison. The iFund is what he's talking about, listeners, is he has a thrift savings plan. It's like the government 401k there that he has. And you have the G fund, C fund, and iFund.
Yes, sir.
So the government fund, the G fund is government securities. The C fund is common stock indexed investment fund. And the I fund is the international stock index investment fund. How much do you have in the G fund?
Right off hand, I don't know, but everything's totaled about $270,000.
Are you taking income from it yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Thinking about that in the future. Are you comfortable with just having those five choices? Is that why you left it there or just big believer in the
when everything went south there a few years back, I just left it there because I didn't want to take the money out and lose what I had, and because I seen some people later on that didn't regain the entrance like I did, you know, because I left my money where it was at.
Yeah. I like the small cap fund in that mix. How has that fund on the international side performed compared to the C fund?
I think the S was doing better than the C fund.
Yeah. And that's because it's small caps. I would think of a little bit more of a mix. I don't know what your percentage is, but, you know, if I'm going to be in the TSP fund, I'm probably the thing I would want to look at is how is international stock index fund doing. But as far as the S fund and the C fund, I definitely would be in that. I would hold money in the government securities fund because I'd like to buy if there's dips. I like to buy on those. And then the fixed income fund is basically like a bond fund as well. If you're diversifying across from those, I can't see that would be wrong to go that way. And I would kind of consider having across. About how old are you right now, John?
I'll be 63 in January.
Okay. Yeah, and I kind of think that's a good mix of moderate and conservative investing, kind of being across the board there, actually.
All right, well, look, you'll remember when I bring this up with Gregory. John called in last weekend, and he was asking if he should dip into that TSP and use the money from the sale of his existing house to go move and buy his retirement home. And
you remember that, John?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, Gregory threw out the idea. Maybe you should explore a reverse purchase because without asking 1,000 questions, we don't know if it's right for you. Did you look into that and what do you think?
Yeah, I looked into it a little bit, but that reverse purchase, especially when you said that, save the money, but, I may not have anything at the end of the purchase. And I grew up poor and you know, my family never gave me anything, which I understand. But I want to leave a lot of things for my kids, you know.
All right. Well, if that's your priority, then maybe not. That's we're throwing it out there, though. You may want to ask your kids, though, because about 90% of the time, they don't want the house. I don't want my parents' house, that's for sure. All right. Thanks for calling again, John. Maybe we'll hear from you when you get this next issue sorted out. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. A couple more clips from Donald Trump coming up next. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
So folks listening, you come to me and you go, hey, I already got 5%. Well, mom and dad gave me 5%, but I still want to take advantage of, I want to go with CAFA, put the 5% down, and let's use the grant program to buy out your private mortgage insurance.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
What better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials? Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Cares' Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego, December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Whoever else winds up in office is going to be about getting some more of our tax money. You could have an actual plan to exit the tax system. I've got a client. He's pretty much going to be six-figure income, and it's not going to show up on the 1040.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
One family retiring in the first quarter of this year. He has $500,000 in assets, but he has some family issues going on, bills. He's needing to extract $100,000 from that account once he retires, and that's, once again, we know is a big taxable event. But then he's saying, hey, I need $30,000 a year in income from the remaining assets. I did the math for him in the first visit. He's going to be broke, best case, in 12 years. I can't fix that. And you don't need to pay me fees, and you don't need to take risk. Risk is not going to help you make that work. It's going to help you part from that money earlier.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Not losing any sleep. I picked up every piece and landed on my feet. I'm wide awake. Need nothing to complete myself.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the weekly wrap. What that means is it's live financial talk radio. You can join the program. We have a few minutes left. 504-260-0995. I'm Gregory Ricks, the host, along with James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, if you're wanting to know more about us, go to winningatlife.com as well to learn more about myself, my firm, James, and the Total Wealth Authority and other things we do. Learn more about the show, get podcasts, a lot of resources there. And also go to your app store, do a search for Winning at Life or Gregory Ricks, download the free app to connect with the show also.
All right. Financial situations, 504-260-0995. Feel free to interrupt. We're going to finish with a part of the Trump chat that actually affects you and does affect your money for sure. This next one's going to affect all of our money. Trump's bragging about something in the Senate bill that I really liked.
Something great is going to get announced. We're getting rid of the individual mandate. That individual mandate. Where you pay a lot of money for the privilege of not having to have insurance or health care. So you pay for the privilege of not getting taken care of. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And we're going to repeal it.
There you go. I like the sound of that, getting rid of the mandate.
I do too. What? Be forced to have it?
Well, look,
if we're talking an example, and I disagree with the thought of what you're thinking of doing is opting out of health care.
Yeah.
But what's your backup on that?
$1,700 a month that I'll be able to save. If I could just put $1,500 of that in an account and be that responsible with it, would that change your mind? Because I'm probably not, but if I could,
okay,
would that change your mind?
When you're playing kickball on Sunday, what if you break a leg?
Rub some dirt on it.
Car wreck, broken hip.
Doesn't happen to me.
One of the kids developed something that you were unaware of. And how many kids you have now? Like 12? It keeps going up every time I see you.
Okay, but the pushback on this is that my parents and my grandparents and my wife's grandparents, they never had health insurance for themselves or their children. And my wife's grandparents had 8 kids. So one of them break their legs, they take them to the doctor, they put a cast on, send me the bill. If I can pay it now, cool. If not, I'll make monthly payments. I'll pay it in installments till it's done. Now, that's the math on that has changed drastically because healthcare costs have far outpaced inflation and wages and all that other good stuff. So is the math so bad that I can't operate under that anymore?
If it's your philosophy, is it always happens to other people, but I do disagree. My life experience a little bit different, knowing that there was costs and things that happened also at a time when I couldn't afford it either. But obviously I did, may do, because, you know, deductibles and expenses outside the coverage. I don't never think the coverage is completely adequate, but it's there for a purpose. And yes, I have coverage and will continue to have coverage. Do I like the premiums? Oh no. So ever it's healthcare pricing has been a train wreck, but I don't know that the answer is to opt out the system either. But I think that's the problem for someone like you that would rather opt out, but should be able to buy a super high deductible.
Catastrophic is what I would love to have.
Yeah. But we don't have those, do we?
They're illegal.
They're illegal.
You got to cover everything down to the chop job. It's as nice as I could put it.
Yeah, and that's the government tell us what we can and can't do, and, oh, you can't have this, and everybody has to buy, or you pay a tax, but you're not allowed to have coverage that fits what you're wanting to do. And, you know, somebody needs to work on that one day, but in that sense, have I used in the past, did I use catastrophic? Yeah, I did, James.
When it was legal.
Yeah, when it was legal. A good while back. You know, I'm 57, so I'd say a while back.
All right.
Hey.
You want to do John?
Let's do John, and then I want to jump back to that call we had with the thrift savings plan. I've got a couple other thoughts.
Oh, you're digging in Google on the break there. Okay, John Metter, you're going to be first, though. Let's go ahead and see if we can help this fella calling down from Metairie, Louisiana. Hey, John, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
A philosophical question about inflation with regarding to investment property. For example, if I bought a house or an apartment 29 years ago for $100,000 and I've depreciated it at half land value, so now the basis is $50,000, but it's now worth on the market $300,000. I really have a $250,000 gain, of which, in my opinion, most of that is just inflation. But I got to pay tax on that. What's with that? Is there any hope that Congress will help with that?
You're talking about you're realizing that inflation when you sell the property.
Exactly.
Okay, well, it might be unrealized and it might just be inflation, but it turns into hard money and profit actually when you sell it. And that's ultimately what determines the value, is that buyer on the opposite side of the seller. So it may have been inflated, but if they're willing to pay you that price, that's a whole different deal there. And we like that. You know, we had Dwayne Stein on the show a couple weeks ago, and I remember one of the phrases he used, and he was kind of thinking your value of your home may well be the most it's ever going to be at this time. I guess subject to inflation, because it's still going to move up in value. But that was just an interesting thought, that we might not see appreciation of real estate like we've seen in the past.
Yeah. And even if it goes up a little bit, if it's just keeping pace with inflation, you're going to see that nominal amount go up a ton, but you're not really going to have the buying power when you sell it. And I get what you're needling at, because there's an ethical disconnect there, John, between deliberate planned inflation and having a capital gains tax in the tax system. That's just robbery. And I'm with you on that, because if I have just some, you know, entity that's worth $1,000 today, and then because of inflation, when I sell it 30 years down the line, it's worth $2,000, even though it's the same purchasing power as the thousand. How come I get taxed on that $1,000? It's absolute theft. I'm with you on that one, John.
Exactly. That's my whole point. But there's any was that always like that? And there is a chance to have capital gains adjusted for inflation.
There's
which I think would be fair. I don't mind paying on a real profit, but I'm paying on inflation.
Yeah, no, it hasn't always been like that. Inflation's a relatively new phenomenon in American history. For the first 150 years almost of America, a dollar would buy you the same thing a dollar bought you last year. The one approach would be get rid of the Fed and go back to a different form of monetary policy. It could be gold or precious metal or fractional, whatever you want to do. I'm not saying Bitcoin. But the other half of that is capital gains taxes. They didn't always exist either.
Yeah.
So get rid of either one of those and you lose the ethical conundrum.
I was just going to say, you can thank the Fed for that.
I know. Hey, they were brought in to keep our money stable, and they've done a great job. It's only lost 99% of its value in 100 years. So great job, Fed. And every dollar they lose is subject to capital gains because it gets inflated in. I'm with you, John. That bugs me, too. You're not alone. Thanks for calling.
Caller earlier regarding a thrift savings plan, and I talked to him about he's got the money in the G fund, C fund, and I fund, and I kind of liked it across the board, subject to what the I fund is doing. So actually, I went into the TSP savings plan.
Can I catch a couple people up?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, this is the 401k that the government gives you, and instead of choosing from a giant list of options, you really only have like five or six, and they all have a letter assigned to them because this is government and they're not very creative. Go ahead.
Yeah, they have some of the lifestyle type funds as well, 2020, 2030, 2040, 2050, if you're retiring out at that fund. But most everybody uses G, F, C, S, or I fund. And just looking at, let's look at 1 year returns, because this is a good look.
Okay.
Is it roaring? The G fund is basically government securities, 1.82 government treasuries. The F fund, more of an income like a bond fund, 2.91% on 1 year return. The F fund, fixed income, yes, what I just mentioned, 2.91. The C fund is 12.01%. And that's more like S&P 500 index. The S fund is small cap. It's up 16.35% for the year. And the I fund, the international fund, is up 2.10%. Over 3 years, that fund is off 1.27 compared to the C fund that's up 8.95. And that's kind of why. And if you go back 5 years, and it's just, I don't know that you're getting the performance off of the I fund, but the others, as far as the mix of moderate and conservative, are a good mix.
Yeah, nice and simple, government. Thanks for that one. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, maybe Gregory Ricks and Associates is right for you. You can check in on the professional side of Gregory. Go to GregoryRicks.com. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Have a good one.
Internet Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.